welcome. We're glad you chose to worship with us. We finished our series on forgiveness on last week. Everybody say, yay! Now I don't have to forgive nobody for another year. It's so funny because the message of forgiveness is the most liberating message in the world, and folks run from it like it's I don't want to deal with that right now. I ain't ready to forgive them yet. That's the funniest thing. So, you know, we had 5 Sundays in this month, and I decided that this would be the perfect time, right on the heels of our forgiveness message, for us to talk about another message that we try to do annually. We haven't done it in a couple years now, so some of you have never heard this message. We call it Watch What You Say, and it's about gossip and what the Bible has to say about gossip. And there's some things in here. If you think forgiveness challenged you, there's some stuff in here that's going to really challenge you, because some of y'all are going to find out you've been gossiping. But it's all right. I'm going to teach you how to deal with that and how to overcome it and how you can very politely tell somebody, I don't do that. Let me say this. Here at our church, we have a zero tolerance policy for gossip. Any member of the church can correct you if they feel like you're gossiping. They will tell you one time very politely, we don't do that here. If you continue to do it, they will come and let me know, and then you will get your first official warning. We don't do that here. Knock it off. Now, in all the time that I've been pastoring, I've only had to ask one person to leave the church because of gossip. Okay? So that's a pretty good record, all right? So, and it wasn't even this church. It was another church where I was a part of the pastoral staff. So let's jump into this real quick. Our principal scripture is James 3, verses 2 through 10. He says, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man." So if you can keep from letting your tongue trip you up, you're perfect, according to James. He says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Watch this. "Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity." Now what did I tell you that word iniquity means? Y'all remember? Anybody remember what I told you? Huh? A deep-rooted sin. Iniquity is deeply rooted sin. Listen to this. It's sin that you sometimes don't even know you have. It's so deeply rooted. So it says, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way." Now, after reading James, after reading what James has to say about the tongue, You know, when I was a young guy, you know, you told me, you know, you want me to teach you how to preach, and I'm gonna tell you some of the thoughts of a young preacher. You know, I read this for the first time. I was a teenager, and I read it, and I couldn't help but think after reading that passage, why in the world did God give us a tongue if it was going to create all this problem? I just don't understand, Lord. What was you thinking? But James makes it clear that most of the problems in humanity are right here. You know, I tell people all the time, your problem is right under your nose. Takes them a while to get that. Your problem is right under your nose. James talks about how your tongue is set on fire of hell. And he talks about how, he said, no one can actually tame this tongue. He said, even though your tongue, watch this, is directing the entirety of your life. If you want to see what your life is really made of, go back and listen to the things you've said. This job makes me sick. I can't stand working with these people. I wish I just didn't have to put up with them. Then after you lose your job and you're unemployed, I don't understand why I'm going through all this. I don't understand why this is happening. Well, you created it with your tongue. See, your tongue, I told you all, you have the creative ability of God in your tongue. How did God create light? God said, let there be light. Am I right or wrong? You have the same creative ability, but our inclination is to say the negative or to talk negative or to speak negative before we'll say something positive. And then we come up with bad theology where, you know, I'm just trying to have my positives outweigh my negatives. No, why don't you try not to be negative at all? Why don't you try to actually tame the tongue? Why don't you try actually bringing your tongue into submission to the Holy Spirit? See, now this, I can go into a whole nother lesson about speaking in tongues right here. Because the whole point of speaking in tongues is I can't tame the tongue, but I can give it to the Holy Spirit and he can take authority over the tongue. Are you hearing me? All right, let's move because I want to get through this. Point number one, gossip is treated more severely than most sins in the Bible. Gossip is treated more severely than most sins in the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say on the subject of gossip, and it's amazing to me that there's so many scriptures on it, and we talk about it so little. You know, I've preached homegoing services for people. I preached a homegoing service for a woman one time. I did not know her. I knew her daughter. Her daughter was a friend of mine. She actually was my neighbor, and I was the only pastor she knew. She's never been to our church, but I was the only pastor she knew. So she called me and she said, "My mother passed away, and I was wondering if you would just come to her memorial and say a few words." Now, I didn't know if her mother was saved. I didn't know if her mother knew Jesus. I didn't know anything about her mother. But she wants me to come and have words. So my wife is so intrigued by this whole thing and the way it's developing, she starts getting dressed to go to the thing too. I'm like, "Where are you going?" She said, "Oh, I got to see how you're going to handle this." That was her whole reason for going. She just wanted to observe. "I just want to see how you're going to deal with this." So we get to the thing, and I start walking around the room. Now you need to know this. The word eulogy means to speak well of. So whenever I officiate a homegoing, I say it's the people's job to eulogize. It's my job to preach the gospel. So I start going to people in the room, and I say, "How did you know Miss So-and-so?" And they said, "Oh, she was my best friend." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, tell me your favorite story about her." And so they start telling me their favorite story, and I can't tell you how many people said, "Oh, she loved Jesus. When she got to the point that she couldn't go to church anymore, she wouldn't let a day go by that she wasn't watching TV and watching somebody preach the gospel on TV." And so they just talked about how she loved Jesus and how she watched TV and watched Christian TV and she would pray. And then they would say, but let me tell you, she really loved some gossip. almost every, Carol, am I exaggerating this? Almost every person said, oh, she really loves some good gossip. Now, she really loves some good gossip. And so to me, this was kind of oxymoronic. But in most of the church, we don't understand how detrimental gossip is. Well, we understand it when people are gossiping about us. We just don't understand it when we're gossiping about somebody else. Y'all can say amen right there. See, if you say amen right there, that tells me you're not the one doing the gossiping. So I'm standing up here trying to have words, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, I want to deal with this whole gossip thing. Gossip. We told you in our forgiveness series that the most harshly punished sin for the believer is unforgiveness. Well, we're going to show you that the second most harshly punished sin within church discipline is gossip. Okay? Let's go. Matthew 18:15-17. We covered this with you last week. All other sins, adultery, fornication, greed, etc., are subject to a four-step disciplinary process according to Matthew 18:15-17. All right? Four steps. There's four steps. So here's how we deal with sin according to the Bible. Now, I know right now we got people that preach that there are no sins and everybody's doing okay, everybody's okay. But, oh, you got plenty of them telling that lie. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has a manuscript called the Bible, and it tells us how to deal with sin within the church. And we told you this last week. Step number one, confront your brother. If your brother is in sin, go to him. Confront him. You got to confront sin. Okay, and then we told you number two, if he won't hear you, take two or three witnesses, right? This is what Matthew 18:15-17 lays out for us. If he won't hear you and the witnesses, the scripture says, tell it to the church. Now, at this point, this is not gossip. This is you warning the church that we have tried to reach out to this brother, and this brother knows that what they're doing is sin because we pointed out to him that this is sin that is going to destroy his life, and he is refusing to repent. Okay? And then number four, it says, if he won't hear the church, treat him as an outcast. Have nothing to do with him until he repents. This is Bible, y'all. This is, I know it sounds hard with our modern day warm and fuzzy goosebumps gospel, but this is Bible here. This is straight from the scripture. I didn't add or subtract anything. Okay? This is how the Bible tells us to deal with sin. Let's go. Next. For gossip and slander, it is a two-step process. For gossip and slander, it's a two-step process. So a couple steps got wiped out because of the severity of gossip and slander, because of what your words can do to a community. The church is a community. It is an organism. The church is a living, breathing organism. Are you hearing me? All right, let's go. Scripture. Titus 3:10-11 says, reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. So it says, reject a factious man. What is a factious man? Sometimes when the Bible uses words, I got to go look them up. What does that mean? Well, here's the reality. The word factious there literally means a heretic, a heretic. And so after talking with several theologians that I respect, we said that, hey, we need to treat gossip the same way we treat heresy. Reject it. Have nothing to do with it. And if somebody insists on being a part of it, it says you give them one and then two. One warning. I told you we had a lady in the church that I was a part of in West Georgia. That was the church that we practiced this. It was very much a part of the church culture where if somebody started to gossip, you would literally hear people saying, please don't do that. We don't do that here. I mean, you would hear it all through. You'd be walking through the foyer, and somebody would start gossiping, and somebody who wasn't even a part of the conversation would just stop and say, please don't do that. We don't do that here. Well, there was a lady. She was a part of a couple of we had a skit ministry, so she would help write skits, and sometimes she would perform in the skits and things like that. And so one of the team members came to me and they said, Pastor, they said she continues to gossip, and we've tried to talk to her about it, and she just won't quit. I said, okay. So I went to her very quietly, and I said, can I ask you, has anybody on your team talked to you about gossiping and how we deal with gossip here at our church? And she said, yeah, I think they did say something to me. I said, so they did tell you that we have a zero tolerance policy for gossip. She said, yes. I said, I want you to consider this your first official warning. I said, you've officially been warned now by a pastor that this is totally unacceptable. We will not do this. And she said, okay. I said, you understand you only get one more. I said, do you understand? Yes. Took like 10 days. He was at it again. So when they brought it to me this time, I said, we need to get the senior pastor involved. So I go to the senior pastor and I said, here's what's going on. This is what I said to them. I gave them their official warning. The senior pastor called a meeting with her, and true to his word, I mean, when I tell you this was the first time I had ever seen him be this blunt, he called a meeting with her and her husband, and he said, listen, we really love you all, and we love having you as a part of the church. He said, but I need to know if you want me to help you find you a new church home. She said, well, no, we like this church. He said, you can't like this church. He said, you've been warned to stop gossiping, and you continue to gossip. He said, now we're here at the second warning. It's gotten to my desk. He said, so I need to know, do you want to find another church on your own, or do you want us to help you find another church? Now, people hear this, and they think, oh, this is harsh, because, like I said, we live in a time when you have this warm and fuzzy gospel where everything's supposed to be howdy-howdy, and everybody's supposed to have goosebumps, and Jesus is my big brother, and we all supposed to be wearing sandals and tip-throwing to the tulips. But here's the truth of the matter. Here's the truth of the matter. We've got some stuff that if we don't deal with it, we're going to have some major problems in our community. And so in order, the Bible says, let the love of God rest, rule, and abide with you. So in order for the love of God to rest, rule, and abide, we all have to do our part in protecting the health of our community. And so we all have to develop a zero tolerance policy for gossip. Are you hearing me? Let's go. So let's look at a kingdom view of gossip. How does the kingdom of God really view this thing called gossip? Next. The kingdom of God is first of all pure. We have to understand that the kingdom of God is pure. So now, if the kingdom of God is pure, we know that heaven is pure. Can everybody agree with me that heaven is pure? Heaven is pure. So there's no sickness in heaven, right? There's no sin in heaven. There's no gossip in heaven. Okay? So we know that heaven is pure, and we know because the scripture tells us so that we are heaven's ambassadors in the earth. The Bible literally calls us the ambassadors of heaven in the earth. So we are supposed to be the expression or the authority of heaven in the earth, which means when people engage us, they ought to be at least feeling like that was heavenly. There was something pure about being around them. I've never seen people so affirming. I've never seen people that speak so well of one another. Now, you have to get over your personal nature to get to this point. Because let me just be honest with you. Let me help you. I would love to be able to tell you that you can get so saved that people don't get on your nerves anymore. But I'd be lying to you. People are going to get on your nerves. But you have to get spiritual enough that you don't respond in your flesh. Are you hearing me? All right. Number two, gossip is a major weapon in the arsenal of hell. Here's how gossip is described in the scripture. It's described as a whispering, secret slandering of the magical murmuring of a charmer of snakes. Speech injurious to another's good name, to speak against, to speak evil of, backbiting, to defame or to belittle. Now, that's a broad, there's a lot of stuff there that encompasses what gossip is. Now, let's be honest. I'm going to do this the easy way. Is there anybody in this room that's never been negatively affected by gossip? Anybody, please raise your hand. I just want to know that there's one non-human in the room. Because every human being that I know of has been the subject of gossip at one time or another. Here's what I also know. Every person that's experienced it has hated it. I have yet to have anybody say to me, boy, they were gossiping about me at work. It was so funny. No. So when we're going through it, we know how destructive it is. But when we're putting somebody else through it, I'm going to get into some specifics here in a minute so that y'all can see how easy it is. And I'm going to deal with how religious folks gossip. See, religious folks gossip different than other people. I'm going to help y'all. Come on. Guys, the Bible also defines gossip as not only those who say it, but those who listen to it. Proverbs 17:4 clearly lays out, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. So just by you allowing somebody to put their garbage in your ear, you now are guilty of the sin of gossip. Mm-hmm. We were visiting, last time we went to Ohio, we were visiting some family, and my wife was commenting to my brother about a pond that he has in his yard. My brother has this beautiful eight foot deep pond that he put in the center of his front yard. He's got like a 5-acre little farm there, and he put like an 8-foot pond with a water fountain, and it's beautiful. And my nephew will just jump in it like it's nothing. He'll get in there and play with the fish. There's fish in there and everything. And so my wife was commenting on the pond, and my other brother started to take the conversation away that she didn't want to go. You know, he was going to go down that gossip road. And my wife, it was so funny. It happened so slick. Carol can be smooth as she's smooth. It happened so slick until you didn't even realize what happened. And so I asked her, I said, what just happened? She said, oh, he was getting ready to talk about something I didn't want to talk about, so I just walked away. I said, so you did what? She said, he started talking about something I didn't want to talk about, so I just walked away. I act like I ain't even hearing. See, because she understands that just by listening to it, she's guilty. Next. Okay, so now here's where we get into some deep stuff. Let's talk about what the source of gossip is. Now, this is all gossip, including that spiritual gossip that y'all sometimes get into. What's the source? Number one, James 3:5-7 says the source is hell. Gossip originates in hell. So, you know, when somebody says, have you heard? Just know the way they heard, they were listening to hell. Mm-hmm. Next. It's also brought about by jealousy and hatred, a desire for position. Now, y'all need to write those scriptures down and look them up. Psalm 38:12, Acts 3:17-18, Nehemiah 4:4-5. These are the things that lead to gossip. It's also brought about by laziness and stupidity. It's easier to tear down than to build up. It's easier to tear down than to build up. And because people are always looking for the cheap seats, we tend to go with whatever our inclination is. It takes a while to train yourself not to gossip. Mm-hmm. It takes a while. I'm telling you. Because it's so easy in our culture to get into. Next. It's also brought about by ignorance. Just don't know any better. That's why we have to preach this message, because most Christians don't even know that it's a sin. Even though the Bible, now you see how many scriptures we got in here, reference scriptures. You ought to look up later. Please look these scriptures up. I didn't have time to deal with all of them. But I'm telling you, this is how much the Bible talks about this issue of gossip. It's sin. Okay? I know. Y'all got to go call Channel 5 News and tell them, there's a preacher dealing with sin. Oh, my God. Number four, there are different types of gossip. Different types of gossip. But it's still gossip. Number one is the mean-spirited gossip. Mean-spirited gossip is just, okay, ladies, y'all can help me with this. No. Hey, whoa. Get it together. Y'all didn't even let me say what I was going to say. It felt hot. It felt personal. Yeah, it's not personal. I was going to say, have y'all ever experienced the mean girls at school? See how they do me? See? Paula, I'm so glad you're here. You see how they do me? I'm so glad I got a witness. I was going to ask, pay attention. I was going to ask, have you ever experienced like the mean girls in school? Well, the mean girls do what they do not because of any other reason than they're mean girls. And that's how mean-spirited gossip is. It doesn't need a reason. It doesn't need a function. It is just something to do. And mean-spirited people want to tear you down. And there's a bullying element to it. Thank you. The next one is the illusion of innocence. Now, this is where the religious folks live, Cord. This is where religious folks live. I couldn't give an example, Paula, about the mean-spirited one, because I don't understand that one. But I've been living with church folks for a long time, so I can give you an example of the church folks gossip. You got a microphone back there? Okay, hand that microphone to my wife. She'll help me with this. Have you heard about Brother Cordray?
Well, tell me the drama. Don't leave nothing out.
Well, I'm not one to gossip. I'm not one to gossip, but I know that you're spiritual, and you'll help me pray for him.
What we praying for?
He really needs our prayer. Oh, his wife is just going through with him right now. Yeah, she's just really going through with him right now. And so he needs all of our prayer. Now, don't tell nobody. This ain't for us to talk about. We're going to pray about it, but don't tell nobody.
Well, I'm going to have to tell a couple of my prayer warriors, you know.
Well, you can tell the prayer team. Yeah, you can tell the prayer team. I'm talking about don't tell nobody that don't pray.
All righty.
The other 102 people that you pray with. Now, y'all see how that started out? See how I made that seem so innocent? See how I made that sound? By the way, just so y'all know, Cordray has a wonderful marriage. His wife's a wonderful lady. I just thought I should clarify. He's my buddy, and I knew he wouldn't beat me up for using him as an example. So please don't call his wife talking about what's going on. Okay. Then there's the social or recreational gossip. You just hanging out, minding your business. And somebody said, did you hear about so-and-so? No, what? Girl, let me tell you. Now I'm going to say something that's going to probably get me in trouble. You know, people like to pick on women about gossip. But I'm 55 years old. Let me tell y'all something. I know some men that can out-gossip women in no time. I'm like, y'all must be writers for the novellas. they gossip like, I'm like, man, dude, I don't care. Next. Then there's the passive or enabler. We told you just listening to it. What the passive or enabler does, they constantly find themselves in a position of hearing gossip. The majority of gossip would stop if these folks would just position themselves better. Remember we said you're guilty if you're just listening to it? Well, if you constantly are the one hearing all the gossip, you might want to be trying to figure out, why do people feel so comfortable bringing this garbage to me? Why do people feel so comfortable talking to me about this stuff? What am I sending out that makes people think that it's okay for them to dump their garbage at my door? And then once you figure it out, you have to position yourself differently. You see what I told you my wife did? She didn't get in an argument. She just walked away. Like she didn't even hear what he was saying. And that's what you learn to do. You learn to just go, oh, here they go. I'm exit stage left. Next. Then there's the whiner and complainer. The whiner and complainer. Well, how is whining and complaining gossip? I gave you some great examples when we started. I was looking for a job when I found this one. I can't stand working here. Have you heard they're gonna cut five positions? Have you heard? Did you know that the so-and-so manager, he cheated on his wife with so-and-so? Just whining and complaining. Just looking for stuff. Constantly. And guess what? Here's what I've learned. Okay. Babies have high chairs. You got a toddler, right? She has a high chair, right? Well, whiners have a cry chair. Okay? Whiners have a cry chair. And here's what they do. They get in their cry chair. Now you've got a toddler, so you'll understand. I'm talking to you because you'll understand this better than anybody else. If Kaya's not getting what she needs, right? If she's not getting what she needs, if she's in that high chair, she knows when she gets in that high chair, it's time to either eat, drink, something. And if you put her in that high chair and the food doesn't come in a certain amount of time, she starts to do what? He said she gonna catch a fit. She gonna catch a fit. She gonna start throwing one. Now Kaya's 18 months old. We understand when an 18 month old feels like things aren't happening fast enough, and then all of a sudden, this beautiful baby who laughs and loves to play with me, she's this beautiful. All of a sudden, she becomes this other person. Oh, I've been there with her when she did it. I'm telling you. And you have to, everything in the room, I've never seen grown folks get so petrified. Well, here's the thing. The cry chair person is doing the same thing. They're not getting the attention they want. So now they got to make some noise. They talking about doing this. I ain't gonna even put up that. They don't know me like that. No, the truth is you don't know you like that. You don't know that you're destroying your own world because you have not learned yet to rule your tongue. See, you can't say the first thing pops in your head all the time. Or the second or third sometimes. Thank you. I was talking to the cussing saints when I. The keys to gossip, the keys to a no gossip zone. There's some keys to having a no gossip zone. Number one, treat gossip like it's life threatening. Treat gossip like it's life threatening. Number two, replace jealousy with rejoicing with others. If you just learn how to rejoice with people that are having a good time and stop being such a hater, gossip is the result of hateration. I should have put that in there. Gossip is the result of hateration. People who gossip drink haterade as a stable part of their diet. Live your life as if there are no secrets. Live your life as if there are no secrets. Here's what the Bible says. This is not Romans 6:15, but there's another scripture that just popped in my head. The Bible says that if a man judges himself, he has no need of a judge. If I talk about my problems, you talking about it ain't going to have no power. I tell on myself. That way, when you start gossiping, people are like, he already told us that. That ain't news. Next. If you don't know it firsthand, you don't know it. I don't care how reliable you think your source is. But they ain't never lied to me. Until this time. You don't understand. They've been a consistent, like you work for the Examiner or something. They've been a consistent source of destruction. Handle true things spiritually and with love. Handle true things, because just because something's true doesn't mean it's not gossip for you to talk about it. Just because something's true doesn't mean it's not gossip for you to talk about it. You know, I wasn't gossiping. I was keeping it 100. Yeah, you was 100% gossiping. So handle true things scripturally. The Bible lays out a way to handle almost everything you'll encounter in life. The Bible lays out a way to handle if people are overtaken in sin. The Bible lays out a way to, if no matter what the sin is, how to handle those particular sins. The Bible lays it out. Be bold and proactive. Be bold and proactive. You've got to make a determination that my ears are not a garbage can. My ears are not a garbage. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. No, you got to hear this. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Let me ask you this. Is what you're about to tell me going to change my life in any substantial way? Is it going to put more money in my bank account? Is it going to change where I live? Is it going to change what I'm eating for dinner tonight? If it can't do any of that, I don't care. Next. So here's our conclusion. That we have a responsibility as believers to not find in the Bible where Jesus let anybody come to him gossiping. Find in the Bible. No, Jesus is, that's probably too high. We're aiming a little too high. Jesus. Okay. Find in the Bible where Paul let somebody come to him gossiping. Find in the Bible where Peter let somebody come to him gossiping. You won't find it. It's not there. And so all it takes for this whole gossip thing to be a thing of the past in the church is for the church to make up its mind, we're just not going to do this. We're not going to put up with this. As your pastor, guess what? I have the awesome responsibility of hearing everybody's stuff. And my wife will tell you, I don't even discuss it with her. That's just how we've done things for 35 years. I don't even discuss it with her. Unless it's something I think she can help with and that she's better at than me, then I'll say, hey, I talked to this person about this. I think you need to get involved and do this, 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 this. But most of the time, when you talk to me, we don't even. Oh, by the way, this goes to when y'all tell her stuff, y'all thinking she told me, I don't know, I'm telling you. Barb told me this morning, she said, I told your wife last Sunday that there was a problem with my microphone. I said, and here it is this Sunday, and guess what? I don't know. Because we just don't do it. You follow what I'm saying? Now, if it needs to be discussed, we discuss it. But other than that, we have made up our minds. We don't, and we get, and let me get even clearer. It is okay for you to be impolite and rude to stop somebody from dumping their garbage in your ear. Now, let me say this. We're all supposed to be doing our best to live a godly life. Everybody agree with that? Okay. But James also lays out, he said, if any man says he has not sinned, he's a liar. James says that. So can we agree that while we're pursuing perfection, we all occasionally sin, right? Everybody okay with that? Am I teaching? Am I doing okay? So we're all pursuing perfection, but we all sin. Okay. So, but why would I let you sin for me or cause me to sin? If I'm going to sin, I'm going to do it myself. That way I can make sure it's something I enjoy. No. I'm being real. I'm talking about Everett Spencer now. So by me allowing you to come to me and gossip because you like to gossip, you've now involved me in a sin that I don't want no part of. I don't want to be a part of that. That's not my thing. That's your thing. Get with the Holy Ghost and gossip with him. Serious. So you have to take this very seriously, and you have to, we have gone through different stages of this, my wife and I, as far as trying to make sure people understand. You know, we teach a lesson on boundaries, and we talk about how you have to set and enforce your boundaries. This is a boundary that we have a hard enforcement on. And so when people start coming to us with stuff that we don't want to hear, we very clearly and very loudly say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to participate in that. And it's okay. Have people gotten offended with us because of our abruptness, because of the way, oh yeah, they get offended. Now ask me the second question, because the second question is even more important than the first question. Did I care? No, not at all. I have never lost one wink sleep telling somebody the truth. Not at all. Not at all. If I'm telling you the truth, it is what it is. You deal with it. Okay? So let's be serious about this. Let's take it seriously. Let's give God a hand praise for who he is and what he does. Amen. Amen. What do I got next?